It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
37 and a half pounds. 37 and a half pounds. That's about how much my luggage weighed when I checked it in at the Alaska Airlines counter in Seattle as I got ready to fly to Ketchikan, Alaska. And it's the exact weight of the monster king salmon my daughter reeled in while fishing near there off of Prince of Wales Island with the crew at Sportsman's Cove Lodge last week. I was lucky enough to take my son David to this wonderful place last year and lost track of how many times he exclaimed over and over again, "I love Alaska." I get it. I really do. What's not to love in the summer when the fishing's good, the weather's nice, wildlife is abundant, and you're just treated like an absolute king by the lodge staff? That's why I was so happy to take my 16-year-old daughter Faith to Sportsman's Cove Lodge this year. She loved the float plane ride from Ketchikan to the lodge, spying a couple of orca whales along the way as we flew low over the water. And once we got there, we settled into our very nice rooms and then went to the main part of the lodge where we had a great dinner of blackened shrimp pasta, got oriented to the 34-foot boats we would be fishing off of for the next few days, got oriented to the fishing gear and how to use it, got fitted for our rain gear, and then we had the rest of the evening off. So, what did Faith and I do? Well, we broke out our rod and reel, and we went fishing off the dock, where Faith proceeded to reel in three rockfish, one of them a very nice one, and a small true cod. We got up the next morning, and for the next 3 days, we were fishing from 6:30 in the morning until well into the afternoon. Bottom fish like halibut, rockfish, and cod were all reeled up in good numbers. We also caught a whole bunch of salmon. We're talking different species too, not just kings, but also silvers and pink salmon. And we also reeled up some odd things like a bunch of arrow-toothed flounder, which are aptly named, by the way. They've got some real sharp teeth. We reeled up several ratfish, which really do look like rats, but they weigh several pounds and have these really weird luminescent eyes. And we also reeled in a large dogfish shark and a 30 to 40 pound skate that Faith reeled in that we were absolutely convinced was a monster halibut until we got it to the surface. On top of all this, we enjoyed some great food, great meals, and great company from our fellow anglers, Gary and his brother Conley, Ken and his son Scott, and of course, we got to enjoy time with our great captain and deckhand. Bottom line was this: we truly had a wonderful Alaskan adventure that neither one of us will ever forget. This week on the show, we're going to talk to our captain, the captain of the Foxy Lady. His name is Mike Green, and he's going to break down how he fishes in the oceans of Southeast Alaska for bottom fish and for salmon, and how you might want to do it too. In addition to this, Mike's going to tell you from personal experience the painful stings and worse you can get if you're not careful with some of the fish you catch around here. I'll sum this up for you in a hurry. When it comes to certain fish and sharks, you need to stay away from the spines on their backs because they'll get you, and you won't like what happens after they do get you. In addition to this, we'll talk to our deckhand, Jen Reenstra, who has worked at Sportsman's Cove Lodge for 5 years and who has loved it. If you've ever thought of coming up to Alaska to work for the summer, it doesn't have to be a scenario like Deadliest Catch in the Bering Sea. Nope, you can enjoy working in a great setting with fantastic co-workers, earn good money, and experience this part of Alaska like few others do. We'll wrap things up with some ideas about what you can do before or after your trip in the fine city of Ketchikan. But first, it's the first morning, and I'm standing on the marina looking back at the lodge. There's a bald eagle flying overhead. There's fireweed that's blooming along the shoreline, and the boats are heading out, and with me
right before I hop on my boat is Captain Mac McCory, the owner of this lodge, which has been in operation 30 years now.
30-year anniversary this year, John, you bet. Yeah.
Well, before we head out in the boat and we talk fishing for the rest of the show, let's talk about the lodge and some of the things that we've talked about before. First and foremost, the staff-to-client ratio here is amazing. You bring in 30 guests at a time, and how many staff members do you have to take care of them?
Right now we have 32 staff members, including myself, so better than a one-to-one ratio for... And it's just what we feel like we need to have to provide the kind of service that we want to provide for our guests.
Well, folks, trust me. Having been here last year, I can tell you the service is over the top excellent. You will be taken care of and feel like royalty when you're here. Let's start off with the food because you've got a great chef. You've got some great food. And why don't you just tell our listeners some of the food they can expect to have on a typical visit?
We emphasize seafood, of course. That's what we're here about. But it's fresh. It's the best we can get. And these guys really know how to prepare it.
Something else I really enjoy here are the accommodations. I mean, we're in the secluded cove. There's no roads around. You come in by float plane out of Ketchikan. Beautiful trip, by the way, folks. But this is not rustic in any way. Very, very comfortable accommodations and just killer views of the cove and the water.
Yeah, that's one of our things. You know, all the rooms have ensuite bathrooms. It's not bathrooms down the hall or anything like that. We try and provide the same accommodations you could find in any great hotel.
Absolutely. And there's been some renovations, too. Now, everybody meets 6 a.m. for breakfast, 6 p.m. for dinner. Everyone has a wonderful time during these events. I know during the dinner, after dinner, you basically hand out cups for those who get the biggest fish of the day for each species. And if you catch a big halibut, you get something, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, with our halibut restrictions, that doesn't mean the fun goes away. We have awards for halibut released, estimated weights of release, and we have membership in the Alaska Halibut Club with Alaska Halibut Club pin for the weight of each fish and a hat that says Alaska Halibut Club and then the weight of that fish. So we're still celebrating those big fish.
And I know my son, who was with me here last year, still wearing his hat proudly.
Yeah.
You've got some new additions here at the lodge for those who have been here before but not for a while. And one of them is this brand new pub. I absolutely love it. Right on the water, folks. It's very intimate, but it's just really well done.
It's been fun putting that together. And it's a great meeting place for folks at the end of the day. Go tell fishing stories and what have you. It's also a small conference room for businesses and corporations that want to have a meeting while they're here. So it's working out very, very well. It's been very well received, and we're real pleased with it.
As I said, we're going to focus a lot on fishing, and we're heading out today. I know we're going to get some halibut. I know we're going to get some rockfish, some lingcod. We'll talk to the captains about that. We'll talk about salmon fishing, too, with the captains. But I do want to mention one more thing. You've got something new this year for those that want to experience Alaska, but not necessarily be fishing for 3 days straight. You've got a brand new opportunity.
We do. We call it Alaska Experience, and it's geared for families. And the emphasis isn't so much on fishing, although there will be fishing, but it's more shrimping, crabbing, watching bears, whale watching, totems nearby in a local village that we can visit. It's just more oriented to the family, and it's a little leisurely, a little more laid back. And we operate it out of a beautiful log home, an authentic log home that's right next door to us. So we're excited about that, and we have our first package for that, a week-long package, coming up here in about 2 weeks. So it's going to be a great experience.
Is that even on the website yet? I know that's brand new this year.
It's not on the website yet. We're just kind of experimenting with it right now, but it'll show up very soon on the website, and it's going to be something that we've looked at for a long time, and there's a need for it, and we're really excited about it.
I think a lot of our listeners are going to be excited too. So again, folks, whether you're looking for just to immerse yourself into Alaska and get that whole experience that Captain Mac just described, or if you just want to come out here and go fishing and be treated like a king or a queen, a lot of the folks who come here come back because it's just so fun. In fact, the repeat clientele you were mentioning last night at our first dinner is amazing. You actually get up to 4 generations of people that are coming here, and that speaks volumes.
Yeah, that's something that surprised us, and those family memories are really important and a little bit humbling that we're responsible for those things, because it's a big responsibility for those family members.
Well, I am getting the eye that it's time for me to get on the boat. No offense, Captain Mac, but yeah. I'm going fishing. But, folks, the website to go to find out more is alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge here on Prince of Wales Island in Alaska. Captain Mac, thanks for having us back. We love it here.
You bet, John.
Why book at Sportsman's Cove Lodge?
Why is Alaska like no other place on Earth? It hasn't changed in thousands of years.
From the way you get here on a float plane to the way you go out with the guides and the boats, it's just a professional experience.
And I said, this is as good as it gets. I said, if you can't catch fish here, you can't catch fish anywhere.
Your experience with us will leave you speechless.
Book now at alaskasbestlodge.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
Back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're broadcasting from Sportsman's Cove Lodge. It's on Prince of Wales Island. It is west of Ketchikan, Alaska. And I am on board the Foxy Lady, a wonderful fishing boat, 34 feet long. Our captain, Mike Green. Mike, we had a fantastic day on the water yesterday. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, it was a good day. It's fun when the fish are biting.
Well, the fish certainly were biting, and we're actually getting ready to go out again. As a matter of fact, Captain Mike and his deckhand Jen, they're both tying up leaders as we speak, getting ready for our crew of five to come on board so we can go out and do it again. But I thought we'd spend a few minutes recapping what happened yesterday and talking about how we got in those fish, too. So let's go ahead and start off with the halibut and the trucod, because we got a limit of a halibut, and we caught a whole bunch of nice trucod.
Yeah, it was a good day. We were kind of waiting on a tide, and the tide shifted. We're sitting on a spot, nice little ledge, going into some deep water, and we managed to pull off some nice fish out of the deep water into the shallow, and we got some nice halibut. Nothing real big. We can't keep anything over 38 inches, so we were able to stay in the slot limit, and we did all right.
So halibut limit is one a day within that slot limit, and there was six anglers on board, and all six of us got our halibut. That was fantastic, but we were reeling other fish all the time. There's rockfish that you're bringing up on a seemingly continual basis. We'll talk about rockfish, particularly quillback rockfish, later in the show. But as a bonus, we were reeling up right off the bottom, right where the halibut were, trucod. And we were talking cod up to some impressive sizes, up to about 8 pounds.
Yeah, I think our biggest was right on 8 pounds. I think one of the other boats had one that went 9.5. A couple days ago, we had one that went 11.5. So yeah, they're nice-sized cod. They add up well, and they're good-eating fish. You had some for your dinner last night.
Delicious fish. I mean, if you like fish and chips, folks, they're fantastic. And personally, I got a little secret for you. If you're going to freeze a fish and you want one that holds up really well, cod is going to do the trick for you. I actually had some from here last year, cooked it just a couple of months ago. So we're talking 10-month-old fish. It was delicious. You wouldn't have even known it was in the freezer at all. It was just that good. So we got all of our halibut. We got a whole bunch of cod. Time to go fishing for salmon. And we need to be brutally honest. Last year, throughout Southeast Alaska, was not a good salmon year. And up until yesterday, the salmon bite hadn't really turned on very fast and furious this year for anyone in this area, had it?
No, it was last year was what I call brutally tough as far as a fisherman. I think we had probably the roughest salmon season we'd had in many, many years. So it was a good day to go out and catch one or two salmon for us. Our pink bite turned on for about a week and a half last year, and then shut down, and that was pretty much it. So yesterday, yeah, we got lucky. We picked up about a 15-pound king in the morning, a couple of pink salmon, turned around, made a move, picked up two more nice kings. Your daughter caught one.
Yep, Faith was thrilled to have that. Also thrilled to have a little bit of help from you and Jen in terms of just a little advice on how to manage a big fish like that. That was a little different for her to catch something that big. But man, oh man, you know, again, six of us on the boat. We got eight fish. And the thing was, folks, if we had just a little more time, I am pretty sure we could have gotten 12 plus fish in a hurry, because at the end, you really had it dialed in where the bait was and where the fish were. We ended up with two coho, we ended up with three kings, and then we ended up with three pinks. And folks, these were pretty nice pinks. I mean, I'm used to seeing pinks 2 to 4 pounds. We were talking like 5-pound pinks here, and we had one pink that was the big fish of the day that was over 6.5 pounds. So, you know, say what you will about pink salmon, they eat up pretty good when they're fresh, and they smoke up really good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they're good when they're bright. They're great on the barbecue. And then, turn right around and smoke them up later, and they're outstanding.
You're listening to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We're talking to Captain Mike Green on board the Foxy Lady. It's a charter boat that is part of the fleet at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. We're getting ready to head out for day two of fishing here. And I want to spend a little bit of time now talking about how we got into those salmon, because so many people in so many places, they troll for salmon. They use downriggers. They're at controlled depths, but we don't do it that way here, not on board your boats. We spread out, and we're going old school, aren't we?
Absolutely. We like the fisherman to hold the rod, play that fish out, so he's able to work the bait himself, feel the bite, set the hook, and reel it all in. So you're not trolling where it's kind of self-hooking. You're pretty much controlling how many fish you're going to be able to get if they're here by the way you're going to work that rod. We just kind of drift along with the current. We allow that bait to spin at certain depths. We tell people how deep we want them to go. Then they're going to reel that up at a certain speed, depending on how fast we're drifting. That's going to give your bait the spin that the salmon like. And we found it very, very effective. We've been doing this this method, at least here at this lodge, for 30 years, and it worked well for us.
And this method, it's mooching, and I guess the way we were doing it yesterday, motor mooching, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah, we leave the motor on, bumping off the beach a little bit. Sometimes you have to bump into the beach, or we're trying to follow a contour line, or we're spotting bait at depth, kind of like what we did yesterday, and just trying to back troll and stay on top of that bait and stay on top of the fish.
So we were going down anywhere from 60 to 90 feet yesterday. And let's talk about where you typically find the different species of salmon in these depths. It seemed to me, and maybe I'm wrong here, that the Chinook, those were the deepest, and the pinks, they were up higher.
Traditionally, you're going to find the pinks on top, the coho will usually be on top, and the kings deeper. But all of this early season, we were picking up a few kings right on top, right next to the boat. So working those baits from the surface all the way down to a prescribed depth and all the way back up allows us to work that entire water column and pick up any variety of fish.
Folks, it's really easy. You know, they're just going to tell you, drop it down 60, drop it down 90. They're going to tell you exactly how much that is on the reel. You drop it down, and once it's down there, you just reel up. 1, 2, 3. Pause. 1, 2, 3. Pause. Bring it up. And the most important thing is, if you get a bite and you miss it, what do?
Put it back down and try again.
And a lot of times, you warned us, and this was absolutely true, those fish, they're going to follow it right to the boat. What do if you see them coming after that bait, but they're not quite taking?
Yeah, the biggest thing is just trying to keep that bait moving. If you keep the sinker in the water where you're not splashing around and keeping the bait moving will work. And as soon as you see that fish, drop that bait back down. And we found probably 9 out of 10 times that fish will come and hit that bait back on the way down.
Okay. So the bottom line is this. Salmon fishing is really heating up as the summer heats up here in Alaska. Speaking of which, we've had some really hot and scorching weather, though it is starting to cool down now. You're a little late for this year if you want to book a trip to Sportsman's Cove Lodge. But now is actually the time to be thinking about booking for next year. This place fills up 80% full by the end of the season. So think about it. By the end of summer, there's only 20% of the slots left. You'll want to hop on this as you're hearing this to book your stay for next year. We've got halibut, we've got cod, we've got rockfish, we've got salmon, and oh yes, today we're going after a new species, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to try to target some ling cod and possibly some yellow eye.
Sounds like a fun day. I can't wait. Captain Mike, thanks so much for a great day yesterday. Looking forward to going out with you again today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to taking you. Let's go get them.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. And when it comes to healthcare sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
He said we're right on him. Without missing a beat, you'll drop your line down to 42 feet. If you don't screw up, it won't be long. Someone in this boat's gonna sing Fish On.
Fish on, fish on. Do it by the book, don't take too long. Set the hook, reel it in strong. Fish on, fish on.
You're back in with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. You know, we've been telling you about this wonderful experience we're having at Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island in Alaska. And let's be honest, trips like this, for a lot of you, they're a once-in-a-lifetime trip. They're a little expensive. And you're thinking to yourself, I want to have the Alaska experience, but I've got a beer budget. Can't do it. Well, let me throw this at you. You can always work at a lodge in Alaska, or maybe you've even got some kids that are staying with you that are looking for summertime employment. And if you're willing to work really hard, if you're willing to go the extra mile, you can have this wonderful Alaska experience like we've had. One such person who has done exactly that is our deckhand on the Foxy Lady, Jen Reinstra. Jen, thank you for a great experience and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jen, let's talk about your story. You were born in Washington State. You went to art school. You actually went to Japan, lived there for a while. And currently, you're a student going through your senior year at Tulane University in New Orleans, Louisiana. But for the last few years, you've been working here at Sportsman's Cove Lodge, haven't you?
Yeah, for the last 5 years.
Let's talk about how you got into this situation. Was it a matter of, I just want to go to Alaska? Or how did you find this job?
Well, after I did the 2 years of art school, I was looking for a bit of an adventure to travel up, but also have a job for the summer. So I had heard about this job from my sister, who worked up here about 10 years ago. She told me a little bit about it. She said it was really hard work, but everything up here is beautiful. And in your free time, you can go exploring. And that sounded great to me. So I came up here.
You know, I love the fact that as you remember this and as you describe it, there's a smile on your face. And that actually speaks volumes right there. Now, you're hearing some sounds in the background because we're broadcasting from the marina. It's the end of the day. We've come back from another successful fishing trip. And the other deckhands on the other boats are cleaning up their boats. Jen's just kind of take a little break to go ahead and talk to us about this experience. So your first year, obviously, you didn't end up a deckhand. Where did you start?
I started out as a hospitality team leader here on Shoreside, which is cleaning rooms, serving breakfast and dinner, all sorts of guest relations, working in the lounge, talking to people, organizing all the other hospitality people. But that job is great. You get to interact with a lot of cool people, and you get a nice break in the day to go exploring and stuff.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this place and getting the job, because one of the highlights of Sportsman's Cove Lodge is the off-the-charts incredible customer service. As a matter of fact, folks, like we mentioned earlier, there are 30 guests at any given time here at the lodge, and 32 staff members taking care of you, so it's better than one-to-one. So getting here is not easy. There's a lot of people that are here year after year because they just love this place. You're one of them, obviously, yep, after 5 years. So how do you actually land the job?
It starts off, I went to the website. They also have an ad on Craigslist, Sportsman's Cove Lodge, their website. It's alaskasbestlodge.com. They have a career opportunities link on there, and they show all the available jobs that they are hiring for the next year. You need to start looking at that at December, January time of year. Then you'll turn in the application, and then they will call you back or email you back for a video interview, which you send in. It's like a YouTube video.
And I want to talk about that. This is really, really, really unique. So this YouTube video interview, and folks, if you want some entertainment, I guess you could probably Google job interviews at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. How does this work?
Basically, they send you a questionnaire with maybe 10, 15 questions on it that you are supposed to answer in front of a live camera on your computer and then post it to YouTube for them to review. And you answer the questions, but it's a little awkward because no one's there asking them.
No, that's incredibly awkward. I can only imagine reading. So, I'm Jen, and here's the question, and here's my answer.
In this work situation, I guess I would do this. Basically, it's just an interview, but you are both parties. So, I like the video interview because I could film it in my living room, and I'm perfectly comfortable there. So, it makes me more confident in my answers, perhaps.
Obviously, you got hired,
yes,
year one. You ended up here. You got here in May. And, you know, give us the behind-the-scenes look. What happens before the crowds arrive and the lodge opens?
Well, when I get here in May, it's a lot of de-winterizing the place. So moving everything back outside that got moved inside, plugging in all the things that use power, the freezers, cleaning everything, painting everything, repairing anything that broke over the wintertime. And after all that sort of stuff is done, then most people get here about the beginning of June. And then we start orientation, which is a week-long manual review and history of the cove and the lodge and all of your jobs, specifications that you would need to know for your job. You have on-the-job training during that time, too. Once that 5 or 6 days is over, we have staff fishing day, which is like big practice day for everybody at the lodge. So all the employees will be pretend guests that day. Starting in the morning, everyone goes and sits down at their tables in the dining room, assigned with their boats that they are fishing on that day. Hospitality will get to practice setting up everything for breakfast and serving everybody, cleaning it all up. Then all the hospitality girls and all the maintenance and other staff come down to the dock, and they are the pretend guests for the boats for the day so that the deckhands and captains can get a sort of run-through trial version of what a day at the lodge would look like, which is really helpful and also really fun because you're with your friends. We come back after at like 4 o'clock, like a regular day, and then we take pictures of the dock. We weigh all the fish.
Sounds great. I'm going to cut you off there because I just love all the detail you go through. And you told me earlier, you actually repaint everything every year, which is just amazing. I mean, folks, this place looks great. The boats look great. The lodge looks great. Everything is top-notch, and that's because of all the attention to detail they give here every year. So getting to the life of an employee, I mean, you work really, really hard. You're working 7 days a week for basically 4 months straight. Do you get any off time at all? And when you have it, what do you do?
Depending on your job, you will get breaks during the day. No one gets a day off. Preseason, you get Sundays off. But once there's guests here, it's every day. When the guests leave, the same planes bring new guests in. So there's never any time when you're not working. But you do get breaks. I get my break at the end of the day now. I get off a little earlier than some of the other people do. Hospitality, maintenance, dock people will get a big break in the middle of the day while the guests are out fishing. And in that time, you can take skiffs out, go explore islands, go fishing in your own time. Lots of hikes around here. Lots of cool things to see. There's bears and eagles and otters and whales.
And obviously agrees with you because this is your fifth year here.
It is. Yeah, I love it.
So again, if people want to go ahead and work at a lodge in Alaska, especially Sportsman's Cove Lodge, what's the website they need to go to and how do they go ahead and apply?
The website is alaskasbestlodge.com. And there is a career opportunities page. It's one of the tabs at the top. You'll click that. It'll show all the jobs that we hire for. And then you can just email in or online apply your application.
Well, think about it, folks. If you're looking for the most memorable summer job you'll ever have, you're going to work really hard, but you're going to make some good money, and you're going to have some memories that are going to last a lifetime, and you might like it so much that, like Jen, you just keep coming back year after year. A number of the staff members do, but there's always openings for new ones. So go to alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com. And if you want to work in Alaska, consider Sportsman's Cove Lodge and consider joining this great team that offers such a great experience for all of us as guests. Jen, thanks again for some great days on the water, and thanks again for all you do here at Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Thanks for interviewing me. I hope we kill it again tomorrow.
We've been telling you about Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska for a while now, and there's a reason. They are the only Alaska lodge we talk about in this show. It's because they're truly Alaska's best lodge. The adventure starts with a float plane ride from Ketchikan, after which you'll get the chance to experience some of the best hospitality, food, and wonderful people you'll ever meet. Wildlife is abundant, from bears and deer to eagles and whales, and let's not forget the reason you're here, the fishing. Halibut, salmon, lingcod, rockfish, true cod, and more. It's all waiting for you in abundance at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Book your trip today at alaskasbestlodge.com. That's alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
This land, once wild and free, fades now from our memory. But I remember what it was like, what we were like, what we are capable of when we band together. Perhaps more than any other landscape, wetlands embody the life-giving abundance that nature has to offer. And perhaps more than any other organization, Ducks Unlimited is working to ensure that our continent's wetlands not only survive, but thrive for generations well beyond this one. These natural wonders are where waterfowl begin their cycle of life, where the deer and the antelope play, and where we, the people, gather together to see and share what makes the outdoors so great. The time is now to band together with organizations like Ducks Unlimited. The time is now to rescue our wetlands.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, a nationwide group working to keep public lands in public hands. We've helped ban the use of drones for hunting. We help repair wildlife corridors and key riparian areas. We speak up against illegal ATV use. We collaborate with elected leaders to keep public lands in public hands. We're Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, with membership in all 50 states in Canada. Please join this dynamic conservation group. Check us out at backcountryhunters.org.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Pheasants Forever is working hard every day to ensure there's more wildlife habitat for the future. To join us, go to pheasantsforever.org.
But I didn't let go, though my knuckles were white. I said, fish, I'm gonna win if it takes all night. I'm reeling you in, and that ain't all. I'm mounting your fat, scaly butt on my wall.
Fish on, fish on. Close your eyes and quote the scripture, but first get a camera and take my picture.
Next up on America Outdoors Radio, we continue to broadcast from Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Alaska, and we are sitting marina side, getting ready to depart for the day, but we've got a couple of minutes to talk again with Captain Mike Green on board the Foxy Lady. Mike, I wanted to talk about fish that, well, sometimes they fight back, so to speak, and we're not talking about at the end of a hook and line. We're talking about fish that can inflict some damage on you if you're not careful. Glad to have you back on the show, Mike.
Oh, glad to be here.
So, you've been fishing the saltwater, you've been fishing as a charter boat captain for many a year, and I understand once upon a time you reeled in a spiny dogfish, which is a very common species of shark here in the Northwest waters, and you had a not-so-great encounter with that fish.
Yeah, we were running fishing and diving charters in Puget Sound probably about 25 years ago, and we had a spiny dogfish on, had a customer that wanted to get a picture of it, and so we brought it on board, kind of laid it out nice on the deck so she could get a picture of it, and about that time a wake came by, and I had to shuffle my feet a little bit. And when in the shuffling, I actually stepped down on the spine that comes out of the dorsal fin. And that spine went through the bottom of my boot, into my foot, and broke off there. And so we used a pair of pliers, pried it out of there. And it was a little painful at first. And then I went in about 3 days worth of being passed out cold in my tent and hallucinations and some beautiful blue and green color in the bottom of my foot.
Oh, my God.
It swelled up. But was not smart enough to go to the hospital. And this is back in the day, you know, obviously 25 years ago where, you know, Benadryl wasn't really so popular and easily to get. But yeah, after 3 days of pain, it finally went away and decided I would never, ever bring a dogfish on board my boat again.
I completely understand. And, you know, it's amazing to me that that spine on that shark actually went through your rubber boot and the sole into your foot where it actually had to be pried out with pliers. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was amazingly hurting at the time, but yeah, it was a big deal. It's a pretty long spine, pretty good diameter depth around the dorsal fin. So yeah, I just managed to get the perfect angle on it and launched it in there, and yeah, it hurt a little bit.
There's other fish that have spines you have to be aware of, too. The ratfish is another common species that not a whole lot of people are going to be bringing home, but you got to be careful if you catch those, because that spine can go ahead and get you, too. But in addition to ratfish and dogfish, you have to be careful about another species that anglers catch all up and down the coast, the rockfish, also known as the sea bass in many places. The spines on the back of them, they have a little bit of venom, a little bit of toxicity too, and some fish are worse than others.
Yeah, the quillbacks have got a little bit on it. All the rockfish have it, but we've been told that the chinas are the worst. I haven't been stung by those in a long time, but I've gotten plenty of the quillbacks. People refer to those as the brown bombers. And last year, we were about 2 weeks into our season, taking one off of a hook, and we took a little wave, and it flipped over, and I got three of its quills into my thumb. And, of course, that was a little painful, but it bled out good, so I felt pretty good about flushing the toxins out. And about 5 minutes later, we're doing about 15 knots, heading to a rock with a sea lion colony on it, and going to show the guests what the sea lions look like. And I woke up on the deck of the boat.
Oh, my gosh. With hopefully with the crew and the deckhand looking over you saying, what's wrong with our captain?
Yeah, exactly. The saving grace was my deck, and it had been standing right next to me. So I woke up thinking, man, that was a great nap. And looking up into the face of my deckhand and my guest, trying to figure out why I was laying on the floor of the boat.
Gosh. So you just plain passed out from this rockfish sting. What happened next?
Luckily, my deckhand was smart enough. He backed off the throttle, got on the radio, and kind of called around. They got me some water. We just kind of kept pushing that thumb, trying to get the blood flowing through it. I was a little woozy for about another 10 minutes or so, and then I just felt fine.
So, weird thing here. I mean, you've been stung, so to speak, by rockfish for years as a charter captain, but all of a sudden this happens. What's your theory on why?
You know, some people say maybe you get a little buildup in your system over the years. I kind of liken it to people that get bee stings and they're fine, and then after maybe 20, 30 stings, all of a sudden they have a reaction to it. That was one theory. We did start carrying an EpiPen on board in case it was an allergic thing, but the way that it didn't swell up or I didn't have any side reactions to it, we're not thinking it was allergies. I'm going to think maybe it was either the right rockfish at the right time, or it was just a matter of all those toxins built up in my system and it triggered the little fainting spell.
And I'm sure your fellow deckhands and captains have been very kind to you and have never, ever given you a hard time about this episode.
Oh, no. I mean, these guys are a class act. Actually, that was my first concern when I came to it. It wasn't for the safety of myself or my crew. I thought, oh, man, these captains are going to give me grief all summer long. And it started the very next day.
I'm sure it did. Well, glad you're okay. The bottom line is this, folks. If you're handling these types of fish, whether it be a dogfish, a ratfish, or a rockfish, and especially a quillback, and double especially a China rockfish, be really careful of the spines on the dorsal fin, because those can sting you. And if you're not careful, you might be taking a short nap and having some people wondering what's going on, looking down on you. Mike, thanks for sharing this with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
All right, thank you very much.
We've talked a lot about fishing at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. Now it's time to talk about getting to the lodge and getting back home. You'll be flying into Ketchikan, and Ketchikan's a great little town on the water that has become quite a cruise ship destination in recent years. The airport you fly into is actually separated by a small stretch of water from the town itself, so after you arrive on either Alaska or Delta Airlines, you'll be taking a very short ferry ride that lasts all of 5 minutes to get to town. From there, you can take a shuttle or taxi to your hotel. There's several to choose from, and more than likely, you'll be spending the night in town after your last day at the lodge. You might actually want to stay an extra day or two because there's a lot to do. First off, you got to find your radio and turn that dial to KTKN AM 920. That's our affiliate in Ketchikan that airs this show, and then head downtown and explore. If the cruise ships are in, the restaurants, bars, and gift shops next to the docks, they're going to be really crowded. But if you walk just a few minutes away, you can enjoy a beautiful part of town called Creek Street. Here, you can walk wooden boardwalks bordering Ketchikan Creek and explore brightly painted shops, restaurants, and museums, or just hang out with the locals at the bridge over the creek and see if any of them, or maybe even you, can catch a salmon. There's a shop by the bridge that will rent you a rod, reel, and tackle for that. There's plenty of other things to do around Ketchikan, too. Floatplane Charters offers scenic trips to the Misty Fjords National Monument, or you can head either north or south of town to visit sites like Totem Bight Historical Park or the Saxman Totem Park. They're both full of totem poles, and if you're lucky, you can even talk to one of the native carvers who make them. In addition to this, there are wildlife viewing tours, or if you want, you can rent a car and head to a lake to fish for rainbow or cutthroat trout. There's a couple of drive-to opportunities like Ward Lake and Lake Harriet Hunt, or if you want, you can just hike a half mile to Lake Carlana from the east edge of Ketchikan. I'm just scratching the surface on things to do here, but we're out of time. So if you want to find out more, go to visit-ketchikan.com. The website, again, to plan your after vacation from Sportsman's Cove Lodge is visit-ketchikan.com. sportsmans-ketchikan.com. As for booking your Alaska adventure and fishing trip at Sportsman's Cove Lodge, that website, again, very simple, alaskasbestlodge.com. They really are Alaska's Best Lodge, and that's why they've got that website of alaskasbestlodge.com for Sportsman's Cove Lodge. And as we mentioned before, you'll want to book early because with all of the guests that keep returning there, this place does fill up fast. We'd like to thank Captain Mac, Miss Patty, Captain Mike, Jen Reenstra, and all of the staff at Sportsman's Cove Lodge for a wonderful trip. If you missed part of this show, you can hear it as a podcast on our Facebook page, America Outdoors Radio, as well as on our website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. We're also on several other platforms, too, like Stitcher, Podbean, and Radio Public. And with that, we'll wrap things up with a song about salmon fishing. One of the funniest fishing songs I've heard, by the way. It's one you've heard during this show leading in and fading out from a couple of our segments. It's the Fish On song by Mark Keller. Here's hoping you're blessed in the days ahead, and here's hoping you get to go to Alaska to have some adventures too. Remember, it's your country and you're outdoors, so get out there and enjoy it.
Looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer an affordable platform to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting host John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. But hurry, if you wait too long, this big opportunity might just get away. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
Pheasants Forever is working hard every day to ensure there's more wildlife habitat for the future. Join the habitat leader and help create wildlife habitat in your community. Go to pheasantsforever.org.